services in time. But we will communicate the venue. Honourable Member, Honourable Colabana.
Chair, if you have a proposal, perhaps you could email it round so we can be ready. So I'll be running from where is it, etc. Because I'll be running from one meeting and then having to run to another one. But if we can have a look beforehand, then we can be ready with a response.
We will ensure if the draft is available later today, we will distribute it. So thank you very much for that. Honourable Members, just maybe to give an reference to today's meeting, and then we'll give an opportunity for the members and the delegation to introduce themselves. Now, the Metropolitan Police Service are regulated under a comprehensive legislative framework, including the Constitution, the SAPS Act, the Local Government Act and the Regulation for Municipal Police Services and varying policing standards. Now, the National Policing Standards for Municipal Police Services regarding domestic violence and crowd control management have also been published. Now, the cooperation between the SAPS and the MPS is crucial in ensuring safety and security in South Africa, more especially realizing the vision of the NDP to build safer communities. Now, the big issue is integrated approach between all role players in the criminal justice value chain is essential to attain this goal. And the crime prevention role of MPS must also be clarified for it to play a greater role in visible policing and the fulfillment of their mandate. Now, honourable members will remember, we had in this term a previous interaction with the Metropolitan Police, and that was on 7 September 2016. To discuss the issues of cooperation and training and challenges. At that stage, we also had the South African Police Service with us in that meeting. Now, the issues that was raised at that meeting included the following. The vetting of participants from the MPS at NAR joints and prof joints, involvement of detective services and crime intelligence division of SAPS in joint operations, the mandate of the National Traffic Unit, the involvement of the Municipal Police Services in crowd management training activities, especially in light of the recommendations made by FALM, then the overlap of functions between the SAPS and MPS, the mandate and establishment of specialized units, corruption, bribes, and digital policing, CCTV monitoring. During that engagement with Metro, they indicated some of the challenges, insufficient funding, the increase in events, protest action, increased demand by community for local policing, and then also the issue of legislative challenges. Now, that must be linked to the white paper on policing that says the available resources in South Africa do not permit the huge duplication of functions. So that's one of the issues we want to engage on today. Where police forces are fragmented, the standard of training and other support services are likely to diminish, and artificial boundaries and barriers between police forces makes the task of policing more difficult and raises serious problems with regard to the jurisdiction of one police force over crimes committed in one area and where the suspects have crossed the border into another area. So the issue also of single police services, of course, will be part of that debate. Honourable Members, just to indicate, we've requested, I think, the submissions. Did we get one input from the Metropolitan Police Services, and then also we've got the presentation from SAPS. That's right. So I'll give an opportunity for the honourable members to introduce themselves, and then we'll give General Sithole and then the various chiefs of the various Metropolitan Police Services. They are welcome to join us here. Thank you, honourable member.
Lena la ka ke nna NG mo lebatsi ke le lokola committee ka le leboga.
Good morning, I'm Jerome Make, a member of this committee.
Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Pindile Mola, a member of this portfolio committee. I thank you.
And I'm Diane Kalabana, also a member. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning. I'm Zakhele Mbele, Committee Member.
Thank you, Honourable Members. General Sithole, National Commissioner of the South African Police Service.
Thank you, and good morning, Honourable Chair, Honourable Members, and then Head of Metro. Chair, our delegation is as follows. They will make an indication as I call their name. The first is Lieutenant General Fazi, Deputy National Commissioner Management and Registrar Services. The second, Lieutenant General L.J. Dumane, Deputy National Commissioner Crime Detection. Following Lieutenant General B.C. Ngwenya, Deputy National Commissioner Human Resources Management. Following Lieutenant General K.A. Julia, Provincial Commissioner Western Cape. Lieutenant General N.S. Mkhonazi, Provincial Commissioner KZN. Lieutenant General S.J. Jafta, Acting Divisional Commissioner Visible Policy. Lieutenant General Zulu, Divisional Commissioner Human Resource Development. Lieutenant General L. Thia, Divisional Commissioner Personnel Management. Lieutenant General N.P. Nasir, Acting Divisional Commissioner Technology Management Services. Major General P. Lisese, Divisional Commissioner Legal and Asset Services. Major General K. Modi, Divisional Commissioner Crime Intelligence Acting. Major General L. Ravi, Head Strategic Management. Major General L. Singh, Head Executive Support Office of the National Commissioner. Brigadier V. Naidu, Spokesperson, National Commissioner, and Colonel K. B. Stein, Parliamentary Liaison Officer. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, National Commissioner. We'll then start with the Chiefs. Maybe next to Advocate Max, the Special Advisor of the Minister, we'll start with Cape Town, and then we can go that way. Thank you.
Good morning, Chair, and good morning, everyone. I'm Wayne Naru from the Cape Town Metro Police.
Good morning, Chair, and members of the Portfolio Committee. I'm Johanna Ngomo, Chief of Police in Tshwane.
Good morning, Chair, members of the Portfolio Committee. I'm Yolanda Faro, I'm the Metro Police Chief and Nelson Mandela.
Good morning, Chair. My name is David Tembe. I'm the Chief of Johannesburg Metro Police.
Surprise there. Thank you, Chief.
Oh, thank you.
Morning, Chair. Goodman Mzolo, Ekurhuleni Metro Police Operations.
Morning, Chair and members of the Portfolio Committee. I'm Wendy Zama, Deputy Chief, Devon Metro, Etiquini.
Morning, Chair, Honourable Members. I'm Israel Kamanyane, Chief of Metro Police, Mangaung Metropolitan Municipality.
Thank you very much. We appreciate that. We will then immediately go to the presentations. First, the South African Police Service, General Sitole, and then we'll go to the metros. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Honourable Chair. Yeah, maybe, Chair, briefly, I just need to start by saying from the South African Police Service, we have good cooperation with the metros. But secondly, there's quite a lot of opportunities which exist for us to improve on this cooperation and take it to the next level. There's just few little gaps that I have preliminarily observed, but we've also engaged on them with the metros. I think firstly, there has been a gap in which the defined role of the provincial commissioner in the cycle or in the value chain where we're dealing with the metros, because we deal with them at national, but they're at local level. And at local level, the PC is the one who's in charge. Then there's also a role of the deputy national commissioners, because certain decisions that need to be taken pertaining support that must be given to metros must be made by the deputy national commissioners. And as the national commissioner, I also need to be advised by the deputy national commissioners about such matters. And then we realize that the current forum of the metros is at the level of divisional commissioners. It doesn't necessarily involve deputy national commissioners. They're not clearly linked. But at the same time, provincial commissioners do not participate physically in the forum. They're also represented. As a result, I decided that we review the governance framework, then we introduce an executive The executive will then be chaired by myself. It will include the deputy national commissioners, the chief of metros, and the provincial commissioners, where we can make practical decisions on matters that arises. Then also, Chair, there isn't a visible cooperation and coordination strategy between metros and subs. And as a result, I also suggested to them, and we agreed that we're going to have a two-day session in March in which we must reduce this into a strategy so that we can implement it in a very structured process. And there are critical priorities. Obviously, if we've got a strategy, the strategy can take us to the single police service approach in terms of doing things, because that is long-term. And finally, there are critical key priorities that we need to share with metros that requires national attention and that also have a national impact. The bylaws across the country. There's quite a lot of root causes of crime now when modus operandi exploited by criminals, where they exploit the absence of bylaws in certain areas. Simplest examples is your spaza shops. Whether they license what the bylaws say, but they increase robberies. So there's few of those. Then the safer cities is currently a national and an international priority. It's one of the priorities we're going to be sharing. Public spaces are a big problem, especially from a special development planning, because we've got public spaces that are older than 10 years and they've contaminated the environmental design. Then we've got a number of environmental design issues, but most important is the president's vision, the radical economic transformation. Local economic growth is linked to fighting crime at local level and making sure that the investment at that level also speak to your crime fighting process. So these are issues that we're looking at, but we'll take off from that session. And with your permission, Chair, our presentation shall be led by Major General Leon Rabi. Any gaps arising from it, we're moving forward towards its work in progress. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, General Sitoli, for that background. General Murabi, thank you.
Honourable Chair and Honourable Members of the Committee, good morning. As indicated, the South African Police Service was requested to brief the Committee on the relationships and structures with the Municipal Police Service. Now, for the purpose of the briefing, we will focus on the regulatory framework that is applicable, providing some background. We will also refer to the established municipal police services, the two that are currently in process of applying for the establishment of Metro Police, the involvement of the Metro Police in our coordinating committees, the functions of the National Forum for Municipal Police Services, the sub-forums that are linked to the national forum and the respective functions, the development and support that we provide to municipal police services, post-basic training development, the involvement in integrated operations, integrated planning, municipal police services and SAPs, and then also stakeholder communication channels. Honourable Chair, as far as the regulatory framework is concerned, you've already referred to the fact that it's governed by the Constitution, the South African Police Service Act, the Local Government Municipal Services Act and the regulations for municipal police services that was published in the Government Gazette. Without going into that detail, the municipal police service are established in terms of Section 64 of the SAPS Act, and the municipal police service resort directly to under the respective municipal councils, and they function as complete independent entities. In terms of Section 64, the functions of the Municipal Police Service include traffic policing, the policing of municipal bylaws and regulations, and the prevention of crime. The functions of the National Commission in terms of Section 64L is to determine national standards for policing, including the standards of training. In terms of the structure of the South African Police Service, the Division Visible Policing is responsible for managing the relationship and the coordination with the Municipal Police Service and the South African Police Service. In terms of Section 64, there are currently six established municipal police services: Cape Town, Durban, eThekwini, Ekurhuleni, Johannesburg, Tshwane Metropolitan Police, and Nelson Mandela Bay. Two entities applied for the establishment of new municipal police services. That includes Buffalo City and Mangaung that are currently under consideration. As far as involvement in police coordinating committees are concerned, the municipal police services are involved in the following police coordinating committees at national level. They are involved in the National Joint Intelligence and Operational Structures, or NatJoints. At provincial level, they are also involved in the same structures at provincial level, your provincial joint intelligence and operational structures, as well as your provincial crime combating forums, and then at local level, they are involved in cluster crime combating forums. The reference was also made to the forum that was established, the National Forum for Municipal Police Service, that is governed by a constitution that was adopted by all relevant parties. And the forum supports the development of national cooperation agreements. It's also focusing on national municipal policing standards, directive, and procedures. They're also responsible for the identification and sharing of good practices that relates to the entities. The chair of the forum is convened and chaired by the Deputy National Commissioner of Policing, and if the person is not available, that responsibility is then dealt with by the Divisional Commissioner of Visible Policing, doing it on behalf of the National Commissioner. The forum meets on a quarterly basis and is being hosted by the respective municipal police services. As far as the South African Police Service is concerned, our representatives are the four provincial commissioners currently from Gauteng, KwaZulu-Natal, Western Cape and Eastern Cape. The relevant divisions from the South African Police Service that are represented includes the Human Resource Development, Operational Response Services, Technology Management Services, Legal and Policy Services, and Supply Chain Management. The other representatives on the forum and their respective roles, just to give you brief background on that, includes your Municipal Police Services. They are responsible to host our meetings and contribute towards the joint initiatives. Then we have the Road Traffic Management Corporation, RTMC, on behalf of the National Department of Transport, and their responsibility is to report on traffic-related matters. Also represented is the Civilian Secretariat for Police. They will report on new legislation and progress in respect of a single police service. Then we have the Independent Police Investigative Director, IPID. They report on challenges regarding reported cases. And then we also have the Road Traffic Infringement Agency reporting on the implementation of the R2 Act. There. Now, linked to the functioning of the forum, we have three sub-forums with distinct roles. The first one is the National Training Committee. The National Training Committee is also meeting on a quarterly basis, and they discuss matters that relate to training for the municipal police services. These meetings are being chaired by the Divisional Commissioner for Human Resource Development of the South African Police Services, and it's convened 2 days before the National Forum, where the chairperson of the subcommittee reports on their standards and agenda points. Now, represented on the National Training Committee, we have the South African Police Service, the Municipal Police Services, and RTMC. The second sub-forum is the National Research, Technical and Uniform Standards Committee. They also meet on a quarterly basis to discuss technical and research issues that relates, for example, to the sharing of systems and equipment and assisting in the development of uniform standards. This meeting is chaired by the Chief of a Municipal Police Service, and it's also convened 2 days before the National Forum, where the chairperson of the subcommittee attends and reports to in respect of the agenda points and what the representation on this subcommittee is, the South African Police Service and Municipal Police Services. Last, we have the Chiefs Forum. It is chaired by the chairperson of the Chief of Municipal Police Service. The meeting is convened a day prior to the National Forum, and represented on that we have all the chiefs of the municipal police services. Now, as far as the development and support for the municipal police services is concerned, we follow an integrated approach as developed supports cuts across the various areas of responsibilities within the division human resource development of the South African Police Service. The responsibility of the South African Police Service is to provide assistance in terms of the following: the assessment of management and quality assurance of the police entry-level qualification for MPS members, law enforcement skills program number 4 of 2012, and also to provide guidance with the development of a single unique qualification for municipal police services under the Quality Council for Trades and Occupations. Provisions of an additional training program for the municipal police service include, as an example, drill and physical training instructors, management and leadership training, crowd management training, and general policing training. I would say it's important to note that it's mostly focusing on training the trainers to allow the entities to provide for their training in the respective fields. Monitoring of training progress and standards that relates to the municipal police service environment. With the South African Police Service is also further responsible to assist the municipal police service with post-basic training in the relevant fields of policing, and there we focus mainly on the training of trainers in existing programs and new legislation. There is an annual needs analysis that is done to determine the training needs that relates to the municipal police services, and that is incorporated in the training planning of the South African Police Service. Seats are offered on courses at no cost to the municipal police service, and that includes the provision of accommodation and meals, and also to accommodate the members of the municipal police service in our training academies. And the division HRD in SAPS is responsible to keep record of all training that has been provided to the municipal police services. Moving to integrated operations from an operational perspective, the regulation that relates to or relevant to the municipal police service require that the executive head must develop an annual plan in cooperation with the respective provincial commissioners. This plan must relate to the prevention of crime in the area of jurisdiction of the municipal council that is concerned. Based on the regulation as stated above, joint operations are planned, coordinated and executed at provincial cluster and station level, taking into account the feeding into the structures, operational structures that we referred to earlier. Just to mention a few examples of integrated operations where the SAPS and the Municipal Police Service function, is you have national and international events or the major events, national, provincial and municipal elections, national opening of parliament, provincial opening of legislature, national and provincial operations, as well as provincial prioritized operations. The development of an integrated municipal or metropolitan police service, we will also focus on the development of a plan with specific deliverables as highlighted. And the aim of developing the integrated plan is first of all to ensure that we standardize the psychometric recruitment test battery for entry levels, that we also implement an integrated technology user requirements, the development and implementation of an integrated operational resource plan that relates to our operational capability, the development for a framework for annual operational plans that will be applicable to the respective entities, implementing an integrated anti-corruption strategy, and to provide training on internal risk controls and risk management. Also to provide assistance to municipal police services to develop a vetting strategy, the implementation of an integrated budgetary resource planning model, taking into consideration the respective methodologies, reviewing of feasibility of existing bylaws and the recommendation of new bylaws, as the National Commissioner referred to assist in our efforts to prevent crime, developing guidelines for the establishment of structured local coordinating committees, and then also the development and implementation of a safer city model that the National Commissioner already referred to. Honourable Chair, as far as the communication channels are concerned, we have established nodal points that includes all the relevant stakeholders to ensure that there's smooth communication and to avoid duplication of efforts between the different entities. And all communication between the entities involved is channeled via the established nodal points. I would say that is the background as far as the structures and cooperation is concerned. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, General Robbie. General Stoll, anything else from your side?
Chair, I think we're fine.
Thank you very much to South African Police Service. We will now go to the Metropolitan Police Services, who's going to be their presenter. Mr. Leroux, did you clear the call?
Thank you, Chair. There's a host of presentations that's attached to this one. We'll go through the slides. But in general, the previous speaker mentioned about our core mandate, which is, you know, the crime prevention, law enforcement, and traffic. That is our core functions. And they also mentioned about the, you know, under which section we have to fall under. I just wanted to start maybe on the first slide, which has been put into context as the okay, whilst he's busy setting up there for the slides, we put it into the areas. We started, you know, just for a uniform approach. We made Cape Town first, and then we'll go along. Just to share with you that, can I go to the next slide, please? From the Cape Town Metro Police side, I want to echo also what the National Commission has mentioned about the working relationships. It's of paramount importance that we note that the relationship is it's a good relationship happening across for all metros. Just from our side, that's just an indication, you know, where we are, our total strength. But what we see here is the Metro Police only in the Cape Town. This is excluding, and I have to include the law enforcement component, which is not on the slide, and the traffic services. So if you add up the Metro Police alone, we have about 519. Traffic services has 450, and law enforcement has 1,500, and that gives a total amount of 2,500 staff, you know, that covers for the city area. We must also note that this is just a short organogram. You will notice that all the slides has about 2 to 3 slides that gives just a brief indication of the staff strength, the organogram, and of course the capital spending, the expenditure of operating and capital. This is just a short breakdown of the staff, you know, the staff strength as we go along. The traffic, I mentioned the names, I mentioned the numbers, but just from our side, this gives an indication for Metro Police. If I can just touch on the budget, this is for the period of 1 July 2018 till the 31st of December 2018, that's for our capital budget. To date, we have 51% spent. We're still within the parameter just before our budget ends, the end of June. Our new budget starts, most of us starts on the 1st of July. So we're quite safe within that, you know, the spending. Most of the budget has been spent for buying of vehicles, building projects, and various other things. That obviously talks about the operating costs. That's the day-to-day, you know, operating for in order to make sure that we are effective. We are also, our planned budget is $242 million, and we're on 43% as for this percentage gets obviously upgraded on the day-to-day. Before we go off of that slide, I also just want to add in that the City of Cape Town has obviously looked at various projects, you know, leading up as part of the capital budget, and the Mayor has also given additional funds for over a three-year period for additional staff. That is just over 100 million, so that will give at least about the 900 to 1,000 additional staff, and also additional 40 million rand has been set aside for housing projects for our law enforcement, because we know there's challenges out there. We started various units, and I just want to touch on, whilst we're talking about the staff strength, within the city we've got various units that started. We've got the road haulage within traffic services, we've got the ghost squad, we've got the metal theft, we've got the liquor unit, we've got the CCTV, we've got the shot spotter. So there's various units that's been attached, but obviously they work very closely when it comes to integrated approach, you know, working with our colleagues. I've touched on also the budget that 40 million has been set aside for the housing projects for a rollover period over 3 years. And we also currently have learnership at our training college, which consists about 100, so 50 traffic and 50 law enforcement, and this will also be part of the rollout in this financial year. This is just a short indication from Metro Police, but I'll add on from the traffic on that. The amount of firearms that was recovered for that period from July to December, we recovered 29 firearms, the ammunition is 752, and that's the air guns or imitation firearms. Stolen vehicles was also recovered, 26 stolen vehicles was recovered for that period. Traffic offences, 54,000, and of course the bylaw offences. This is excluding our law enforcement colleagues. That's also that under bylaw. This is your normal B crimes where people, you know, disregard. And National Commissioner mentioned about spaza shops, people urinating in public, and these are the type of offences that we focus on. The rest on the left-hand side gives you an indication of the Metro Police total arrest for that period. A lot of emphasis is also placed on our drug-related crimes, which is obviously a concern across the country. And driving under the influence, this is always room for improvement. This is normal operations that we have integrated with SAPS and our autonomous operations that we have on a week as part of our festive season readiness plan. Just from traffic services, just to give you an indication, they also have, you know, traffic enforcement, camera response enforcement, and they, for that total period, there's 1.4 million traffic cases that they've written over that period. That's, of course, including the camera cases that's been recorded. From law enforcement, they also have a variety of cases. Just for that period, there's more than 300 offences, and there's a combination of various offences from drunk in public, you know, cable theft. There's been a lot of successes from the cable theft unit. And, of course, we've also started recently in conjunction with Plaza, we've started with that unit, with the rail unit. And their successes has been, you know, noted for. There's been a complete turnaround from what we sat with before, and what we are currently now to create a visible presence, especially on our trains, which was a challenge for, you know, for the Western Cape. So, Chair, in a nutshell, that is just a breakdown from our side. I included traffic. I included the capital projects. I also mentioned about the project at the mayor, and, you know, the upcoming things that we've got planned in the various units. And I also just want to end off by saying that the relationship, you mentioned about relationship, it's important because for the last 8 years we've been receiving from the commissioner for our annual police plan. So this is a latest certificate to indicate that, you know, they're all happy. We are in line with what the province wants. So I just want to, you know, thank General Gillo also for what we've achieved and the way forward. Thank you.
Thank you, Chief Perry. The next major.
Thank you, Chair. Honourable members, as I've introduced myself earlier on, my name is I.J. Mapiyeye. I'm the Chief of Police in Ekurhuleni. I also want to talk a little bit just about the cooperation with SAPS. As we are speaking now, we've got members who are trained here in Paarl for middle management. We have got very, very good cooperation with SAPS. Ekurhuleni Metro Police, I will just give a short background that it was established in 2002 on the 16th of February. The staff complement
we are 3,398. Operational staff is 2,596. I've just shown there the organigram of the Metropolis. That's the chief of police. I've got 5 divisional heads who are reporting to the deputy chief, to the chief of police. We are servicing a population of about 3.8 million. Next slide. The next slide also is showing there I've got the first on the right, that vacant is, that position is occupied currently. The second one, which is under auxiliary, is vacant, divisional head. And the third one, which is security and loss control, is also vacant, but both, they've been advertised as we speak. And the fourth one, the last one, which is licensing, it's occupied. That's an incumbent as we speak now. Licensing has been taken recently into Metropolis. It was a separate department, but we have incorporated it with the Metropolis currently. The next slide is a breakdown of our staff complement. As I've indicated, the uniform personnel, the total number is 2596, ranging from the chief of police to the last officer with a traffic warden. The figures are there. And on the admin staff as well, we have also indicated the administrative staff, which are dealing with mostly capturing of traffic fines, general workers, professional nurses. It's about 198. The new component which has been integrated now into the Metropolis is 604, that is licensing section. The next slide. That one deals with our budget. We've got a CAPEX budget of 170 million and operational budget of 1.5 billion. Which totals to 1.6 billion. Mm-hmm. On the CAPEX, we've got mostly construction projects. Since the establishment, we are expected to operate on a 24-hour basis. That is why you will see there's a big amount of construction projects, because we are building our prison stations to be like church offices, so that anyone can come during the day, over the night, to report any cases. And further than that, we are a force multiplier to SEPs. We have adopted a strategy that we don't build our prison station closer to the police station, because we want to take service to the community. We make it a point that we build our police station, prison station, 5 kilometers at least radius away from the police station. So we've got 90 million there. And refurbishment of the existing buildings, we've got 20 million. Vehicles, 45 million. Especially here, we have ordered the armored vehicles, which will assist us and SEPs as well during riots. So we are awaiting delivery just before the end of March. And on equipment, we've got about 14 million, where we procure issues like firearms and the lot. Under OPEX budget, employee-related cost is 1 billion. Contracted services, 327 million. Operational cost is 83 million. Inventory, 30 million. The next slide. That's the crime stat feedback arrest from the 1st of July 2018 to the 31st of December 2018. Under drunken driving, we have a total of 2,497, drug-related crimes, 414, reckless and negligence, driving including excessive speed. That's the figure there. We are having a challenge with illegal mining in our area. So we have established a unit which deals with that, and we have seen a lot of successes. And other arrests, 1,172. On the far right side, firearms confiscated. We have since recovered 18 firearms, ammunition recovered, 202. Vehicles recovered, stolen vehicles recovered, 426. Traffic offenses, 1,000,000. The next slide. That is, thank you.
Thank you very much, Chief, for that presentation. We appreciate it. We go to Durban Metro. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Durban Metropolis Echekwini covers a population of 3.4 million people, and the area where we operate is 2,291 kilometers square. We have six regions where we operate. These are covered according to south, north, inner west, outer west, and also the central CBD. And also we have specialized units that also deal with other specialized enforcement. With regard to the structure, besides the city manager, who is the CEO of the municipality, we have the chief of police, Mr. Middleton, and he has three deputies, which is the deputy chief of operations, and the chief of logistics and support services, and deputy chief of fines processing and licensing. With regards to the budget, the capital budget that we have for 2018-2019 financial year is 60. Capital with operating, which means the total budget which we had was 60 million rands. Now, with that 60 million rands, 1.6 was mainly for the refurbishment of the existing buildings, 23 million rands was for the purchase of armored vehicles, and 36 million rands was for the purchase of the territorial radios. And all this budget has been spent. With regards to the operational budget, we have 1.3 billion, which is the budget that we operate with. 1.1 is spent on employee-related costs. Contracted services is 36 million. And then on operational costs, we have about 167 million. On the operational statistics, from July to January, we've had drug-related offences sitting at 90, vehicles recovered, 460, hijackings and house robberies, 99. Traffic-related offences are a little bit down at 388. The reason is because we haven't had a contract for cameras, and that is the reason that one is down. And then on traffic-related offences also, we have warrants of arrest. These are warrants of arrest which are related to traffic offences. That's 1,725 that has been executed. And then driving under influence is 2,555. and the total is 13,921. Then bylaw offences is The bylaw offences are supposed to be 13,921. If I can just put it that way. I think this is all that is covered under Devon Metro.
Thank you very much. We appreciate your presentation. Thank you very much. We go to Johannesburg. Your Chief Tembe.
Thanks, Chair. The Johannesburg Metro Police, which I'm the chief of Johannesburg Metro Police, it was established in 2001. Total staff is 3,719. However, since we have started having the insourcing of security, we are at the moment about 7,600. Operational staff is 3,116 of the population of 4.4 million. The area that we're covering is 1.6 square kilometers. We have got seven regions, which is had the deputy directors, and we have got regional operations, bylaw management unit, a specialized unit, internal affairs that deal with misconduct, auxiliary services, and academy. The academy, we have got acting director, because the director was there since the standard, auxiliary services, operational, we have got an acting director. The one has just resigned now, but we are going to appoint this week. The bylaw enforcement, fines and administrations, internal affairs, and security. Approved budget is 68, and then the revised budget that we got now is 56. Operating budget for the period of 1st of July 2018 to 31st, actuals is 1.2 billion. Now, in terms of our operations, I want to make it very clear why our mandate is to deal with crime prevention, bylaw enforcement, and traffic management. But now recently we have added security, which I didn't populate here. Driving under the influence of alcohol, we have arrested 4,445, drug-related, 78 that were arrested, firearm-related crimes, 44, public violence, 68, assault cases, 42, illegal immigrants, 139, fraud, 36, malicious damage to property, 17, possession of stolen goods, 31, possession of hijacked vehicles, 91, robbery cases, 61, reckless and negligent driving, 135. All this arrest is due to our cooperation working together with South African police. We do our operation jointly. We have got undercover unit. We have got some of the operations that we are dealing with it in the inner city that we are working with SAPS security and other law enforcement. Recovery, firearms that we have recovered together with SAPS and ourselves is 42. Vehicles that we have recovered for the period in conjunction with SAPS is 372. Drugs recovered is 455.5 kilograms. And then the cocaine that we have recovered is 1.50 kilograms of cocaine. All this is possible because of our cooperation with South African police. Traffic offenses is 1.3 million. We had a problem with our traffic offenses due to the fact that we didn't have the speed cameras, so they were not working because of some other administrative problem. Probably it will just increase because right now we have signed an agreement with the post office. We are dealing on the basis of ARDO, which is one of the issues that is putting us into a disadvantage when it comes to the cases. Our bylaw cases is 3,183. I wanted just to add on the other slides because it was not filtered. Chair, my colleague will present mostly on budget because he's my budget person that will be able to.
Thank you, Chair. So to elaborate more on JMPD's budget, on the first slide there we have our revenue budget, which is 1 billion. The Chief has already highlighted why we're sitting at 14%, but I'll break it down a little more. Our operational budget is approved as 3 billion. It will change slightly through the adjustment budget because we're getting an extra 77 million for insourcing. Then the capital budget is 56 million. We haven't spent anything to date. I'll talk to that on the next two slides. So if we move on to the next slide, we're basically just breaking down our operational budget. You will see of the 1 billion that we budgeted for, traffic fines makes 42% of that, which is 448 million. But we could only recover or bill about 67 million because of post office issues. Like the chief have said, we have signed an agreement with post office as required by ARDO, so that number should start increasing significantly. Internal recoveries, which is the security services that JMPD provides to the rest of the city's department, it's 577 million of that budget. Also, on that part, the actual is very little because this is a new project. We didn't have memorandum of understandings with the department, so we couldn't build them to date. We are currently in the process of finalizing it. The chief should be able to sign with the other EDs by this Friday and next week, then we'll start recovering that that money. So then the other two parts is mostly poundage and storage, which is not so much of the 1 billion. The 3 billion operational budget, it's mainly made of employer-related costs, which makes 72% there at 2.1 billion. And the spending up to the period under review was 52%. So that was in line with our annual spending. Then we have contracted services, which makes 13%. This is mainly our fleet. And then we have other expenses, general expenditure. And then in total, we're sitting with that 3 billion. So you'll see available up to 31 Jan, this number stuck to 31 Jan, we're sitting with 1.2 billion that we still need to spend into the next 5 months. Then our capital budget, which is the last slide on budget, we haven't spent anything to date. Basically, what happened was when we approved budget last year, we realized that there is some critical projects that need to be reprioritized, like the acquisition of a pound. Our current pound only takes about 700 vehicles or so, so it's a bit of a disadvantage. So we're acquiring a new pound for 40 million, which is going to cancel in February. Then that will take about 10,000. Then the operations won't be affected in terms of poundage. Then the other three lines, which are smaller, is mostly specialized vehicles that we're purchasing and operational capital. So we're expecting that 56 million to be spent before 30 June, but the big movements will start moving once the pound has been acquired. soon after council seats in February. So then that is all on the side of budget. And then the next slide, part of the things on the next slide the chief has spoken to, but I'll just hand it back to him to wrap up.
Thank you very much, sir. Chief, the presentation. Thank you very much to Johannesburg. We appreciate it. We will then go to Nelson Mandela Mitchell.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, in terms of Nelson Mandela Bay, it was already established 22nd December 2012. However, it only became operational 29 March 2017, and we are well aware of the challenges Nelson Mandela had to become up and running and operational. The biggest challenge in Nelson Mandela Bay obviously is the budget. When I started out as the chief there, there was nothing in place, no staff, no budget for staff, no budget for vehicles, no budget for buildings. What I then did, I've got four deployment officers at the moment. Bethelsdorp, Kwanabushle, Yumut, Tushong, Motherwell, as well as the second floor, one wing at the South End Fire Station where it's my HQ, my senior staff. I have to take existing municipal buildings and just refurbish it a little bit in order to make it for the staff that was still at Greenbushes College for them to be closer to the community to be deployed effective and efficiently. At the moment also I've got the 8 vehicles. The total staff component is 132, that is including myself and the administrative staff that I have. And then the operational staff is only 126. I have, as the chief, there's two deputy chiefs reporting to the chief of police, which is the central operations deputy, and then it is the deputy in terms of civilian and internal affairs, which also look at compliance, national standards, discipline, uniform, firearms, training, etc. Next slide, please. We are, at the moment, have an acting city manager, which is Peter Nielsen, and I've already alluded to the chief as well as the two deputies. You can go to the next slide. The budget that we have is very small. The CAPEX budget for 2018-2019 is 4 million. That is to acquire trooper carrier, the second generation, Niala. We are piggybacking on SAP Sustainer in that regard. We are just awaiting two more documents and then we will be able to purchase the Niala. In terms of OPEX, it's 78 million. It gives us a total of 82,267,220 rand. I just gave a breakdown in terms of OPEX in the right-hand corner, which the employer-related cost is about 69 million, and then contracted services 1.2. Operational cost is 3.3, and then inventory 2.1, and then operating leases is 200,000, gives the total of the 68 million that I put on top. Next slide. In terms of Nelson Mandela's feedback in terms of arrest, from 1st July 2018 till 31st December 2018, I gave a breakdown in terms of assault 4, reckless and negligent driving 8, theft and stolen property 12, interfering with members 2, robbery 3, bribery and corruption, fraud 4, illegal narcotics 28, drunk driving 150, and all the other arrests 7, it comes to a total of 218. We also recovered 3 firearms in that period. And then the traffic offences amounted to 5,668. There's the breakdown in terms of the staff total. On the left-hand side is the operational staff, including myself, which come to a total of 126. And if you go to the right-hand side top, it will be the finance manager, administrative assistant, and the secretaries that we have, come to a total of 6, and then we just gave a breakdown in terms of demographics at the right-hand lower corner. I also just wanted to add that in the most of, we are now 1 year and 11 months old. However, in the first year was mostly to acquire, as I said, deployment officers to acquire budgets for vehicles. We've got a total of 38 at the moment. And also to require the necessary training from South African Police Service. We've required, all our staff has required the training from the South African Police Service, where they send from their trainers down from national as well as provincial to the academy at the Port Elizabeth, because we, as I told the South African Police Service, we do not have budget and I do not have the luxury to send staff to Pretoria to get trained, but they then had about 8 trainers that they sent for a couple of weeks to train the staff. We are the smallest established metro police at the moment. However, we have the best name, Nelson Mandela Bay. I don't think they can beat me at that one. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much for that. We move on to Tshwane. I don't know whether he's now Chief or General. General or Chief? Welcome.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you very much. I'm Johanna Nkomo, the Chief of Metro Police in Tshwane. In front of us, we have our microstructure. We have established at 4 April 2002. We have a total staff component of 4,109. But I also need to mention that out of the 4,109, we had to actually take 1,000 of those to go and guard and look after infrastructure, council infrastructure, and key point areas where we find ourselves in a situation that our infrastructure is being vandalized. So the 1,000 members are being utilized specifically on static operations to look after the after the critical installations. We are policing a population of 3.2 million with an area of 6.29 square kilometer, which makes it the biggest metro in the country, and I'm told it's actually the third biggest one in the world. We have 4 divisions, and I need to mention that this microstructure is in the process of being rebuilt, as we are planning as well to have in-house security, to hire our own security instead of using contracted services. We have regional policing with 7 regions that are being policed at the level of director. We have specialized policing and non-specialized policing. We have cable theft unit, public order policing, by-law unit, specialized unit road traffic, bike unit, drug unit, and event unit. And I must say that we are working very well with SAPS in terms of the event. We go to the, we are lucky because we are in the capital city, so we get to get first information in the night job and have to input on our role in the night job. And then we have training and innovation where we do HRD, and I also want to compliment the SAPS for assisting us. And then we had our last intake of 185 students that were trained by SAPS in the college in Philippi. I think they will be holding the pass-up ceremony very soon, this week if not next week. And then we have support and administration, which actually deals with issues of administration, our intakes, our leaves, our everything. We have a total budget of 2.6 billion, which is broken down into our CAPEX, which is 11.5 million, and then our OPEX budget, which is 2.598 billion. Up to date, we have not spent any of the CAPEX budget, because the CAPEX budget was actually a 3-year project intended to buy radios. We have reprioritized because we saw a need going towards the national elections and the Easter. We saw a need that we need more policing equipment, so we decided to reprioritize to buy nyalas and to buy trailers and retractable barbed wire trolleys. This move was approved. As a result of that, we have already actually committed about 10 million of our 11,000, so we have plus minus 1,000 rand that is not yet committed. So we'll be able to spend this money, CAPEX budget, by the end of the financial year, which comes to an end in June. The rest of the budget goes to employee-related costs, remuneration of councillors, debt impairment, contractor services. The contractor services debacle is the one that actually motivates us to go into the insourcing coping from Johannesburg, because we are of the view that we're paying a lot of money to security officers to help us guard infrastructure. And then we have municipal rates and services. We might be in the council, but we are also expected to pay our rates and services. Number of arrests in the previous financial year, starting in June 2018, ending at 31st of December 2018, driving under the influence of alcohol, 486, drug-related, 149, reckless and illegal driving, 36, illegal immigrants, 22, other arrests, 890, totaling to 1,582. Firearm and ammunition recovered, we have 38 for that period. Vehicles recovered and stolen, we have 41. Vehicle inspected and searched, that is what we do on our normal roadblocks and daily policing, was 152,094. Person searched, 49,606. Traffic offences related and issues in terms of ARTO, 921,526. Before I conclude, maybe I should just mention that the ARTO is actually being implemented in Tshwane and Ekurhuleni in the whole country. And we have had the challenges, for example, where we were cited in civil claims that it is the metro that are actually blocking people from renewing their licenses. And another one, I think, was the fact that a person said that ARTO is not a law of national affair, because it is only implemented against only people in one province and only in two municipalities. We're still waiting to see how far it will go. We're afraid that if this challenge passes, we'll have a situation where all our ARTO issues, ticketed issues, might come to no avail. Other municipalities, that is our Ekurhuleni and the rest of the countries, are still utilizing the Criminal Procedure Act. That concludes the presentation of the metros. Thank you.
Thank you very much for that. Any other presentation?
The first slide deals with council resolutions, which it was resolved on the 29th of 2012. That deals with the establishment of the municipal police for Mangaung Metropolitan Municipality. That particular council resolution was taken immediately after 2011 local government elections, where Mangaung was declared a metropolitan municipality. And the municipal manager was entrusted with the responsibility to see to it that he submits the application. And on, I think, council resolutions of 2016, then it was resolved, the next slide, council resolved for the establishment of the civilian oversight committee to be established. And the next slide deals with the appointment of the executive head, which was done on the 17th November 2017, but the executive head only take office on January the 1st, 2018, and the progress on the activities, we completed the application which was sent to the MEC. It was on May 7, 2017. And on June 13, 2017, we received the acknowledgement letter of the 6 set of applications that were submitted. And we resubmitted the second application on July 23, 2018, which is still under consideration by the MEC as well as the National Commissioner. But the MEC came and did the presentation to the Mayoral Committee on October 2018 that is in the process of finalizing that particular application. Then what goes with that particular application, the proposed structure uniform members on the establishment is 300. It must be noted that already there is existing traffic officers within the municipality which are going to be translated into the Metro Police as well as law enforcement with their plus minus 300. And the MMPD is established to operate with 886 uniform members, and out of that particular uniform members will have 132 administrative staff. That will also include public safety budget as well as the operational and capital budget for public safety. With regards to the budget, we proposed with the existing it's 114 million. Then we are going to phase it in the first year, which is 2019-2020, is 68 million, adding to that 114. The second year for 2020-2021 is 192 million. Then the third phase of the third year, which is 2021-2022, is 130 million. All in all, the total budget there is 505 million, which is a staff complement of 8886, which the 535 are constables and others are ranking members. Already we have 100 traffic learnerships at the college which were recruited last year, and early this year we are also including sending 100 traffic learnerships, and mid-year this year, June, July, we'll send the last 100. That's the macro structure for the Mangaung, which consists of the chief, and we proposed 4 deputy chiefs, which one would be responsible for admin support and compliance. The other one is for protection services, which will include static as well as the VIP protections for our political principals. And the other subdirectorate, it will be operations. Mm-hmm. And the last one, it will be the vehicle licensing and testing. When you look at the structure, the blue ones, that's where we already have staff in existence which are with the public safety. Those people are just going to be moved to the Metro Police after the application has been approved, and they are from public safety, which includes law enforcement as well as traffic. The next slide also is the proposed structure with the blue one of the existing staff. And once the approval is received, the municipality will draw a crime prevention plan in conjunction with SAPS, finalizing it. Already, Chairperson, we have drafted the implementation framework for the establishment of the MMPD. It will be only implemented after the approval. And we proposed on the particular framework the 5 work streams. The first one will deal with the resourcing of the MMPD. The other one is the alignment of policies and legislative framework chaired by the GM Legal Services. and the other one is service delivery and operating models, chaired by the GM within public safety. The other one is governance and integrity and accountability systems and stakeholder communications. Those last two, the other one, it will be chaired by the GM internal audit. The last one, it will be GM communications. With regards to the challenges, it's all with regards to the finalization of the application by the MEC. He gave himself the deadline of the 1st of December last year to launch. We are still waiting for him to finalize it because it has to be tabled at the provincial legislature as well as being gazetted. And then we'll implement the implementation plan and the issue of the resources in respect of finance, personnel, training and accommodation, because that particular accommodation deals with the accommodation for the Metro Police as a whole. Thanks very much.
Thank you very much. That is the end of the presentations. Honourable members, we will immediately then go to questions. I'm going to start on this side. I will ask the questions last. Also welcome to Mr. Alvin Rafia, the Secretary of Police. You're also welcome here. Honourable Molabatsi.
Yeah, thank you. To the Durban Metro, where is your chief? To the Ekurhuleni Metro, tell us about your storage for the confiscated firearms. Yeah, to the Johannesburg Metro. Actually, to all, where do you draw a line to say this is SAP's work and this is ours? Because I hear you mention robbery, hijack, assault, malicious damage to property, and many others, which I thought was SAP's work. Where do you draw the line? To Nelson Mandela Metro, you say you were established in 2012, but you only started working in 2017. What happened in the 5 years? Thanks, Chair.
Mulabachi, on the market.
Thank you, Chairperson. Just one question to the Mangaung Metropolitan. I see here the executive head was appointed and commenced his duties the 1st of January 2018. But an application to the member of the executive council was done in 2017, another application July the 23rd, 2018. And seemingly the approval is still being awaited. So I tend to get confused here. We already have got a head, but the whole structure is not approved as yet. Can I just be clear to how does that work? Thank you.
Thank you. Honorable Ramadlakhani.
Thank you, Honorable Chair, and thanks to the presentation. I have a few questions. One is really just as general across the with regard to the equipment that are utilized by the various municipal policing, the standardization of the equipment that are used. And what are the equipment that you are using across? You would know that there was also the Falam Commission around a number of things that made suggestions around certain equipment. If you could just maybe just highlight that. The Internal Affairs Committee dealing with the challenges that you have, whether it's the brutality that is reported, engaged by the municipal police, are you collaborating? Are you working, if you have those, are you collaborating with IPED, for an example, in terms of whether the investigation happens? The Constitutional Court made a ruling on the protest and various marches that communities are demonstrating, that one of the specific issues is the issue about whether the people who want to protest need to get a prior approval from municipal police for them to protest. Is there adherence to that Constitutional Court provision? And if not, why? What are the challenges that you come across with regard to that? The Act Section 64E gives the functional area for municipal police. Specifically, you can highlight the three of them that seems to be complementary to what the police are doing. There's a traffic issues, there is policing bylaws, as well as the crime prevention, which is a complementary. The other municipality outside of this function has created other functional area. I would like to know if those functional area, has that been approved by the National Commissioner of Police? For an example, closer home, in Cape Town, the municipal police has created a whole range of functional areas. One of it is called Tactical Response Unit. Another one is called Drug Squad Unit. There are a number of this unit. There are about four or five units that are being created. My reading of the Act seems to be illegal functional area. I would like to know if other municipal police have also followed suit in creation of this particular function. And if maybe they can explain, because I remember the chief of Cape Town would probably help us. One of the conflicts that we read much about in the media was the conflict of abolishment of special units in Cape Town by then the mayor of Cape Town, which was identified to be illegal function, including the collection of information. So I would like also to know, General, from your side, in terms of when the plans are signed, whether it is a functional area that it can be interchangeably used by municipality, listening on the communication, listening of device. In that space, I just want to know, Chair, whether that capacity is internal capacity or is it external capacity, meaning whether the private security or private company are employed to then provide that particular service. In the event that is such a service is provided, has there been a permission granted for such a permission by a judge, given, remember that the judge has to give even the police to listen to communication. Has that been the case? Or has that not necessarily been the case? The another general question to all municipality is the insourcing of the private security companies. Do you insource the private security company to take over what I may term the functional area, your functional area, with respect to bylaw enforcement? And if so, which are those functions and which are the security that does that? While I'm on that, are those security vetted, company vetted, in relation to whatever they are now performing as a function that is devolved to them? Make an example about the CCV control rooms. In the event the CCV control room and the insourcing of the functional area are those vetted private security that are performing that function? What do they do with what they have collected? Who's the ownership of what information that they collect in that space? The last vexing one is this. The recent saga of December in Kings Bay Beach. The allegation is that there was an outsourced function. The chief of Cape Town may help us. Outsource function to a security company, private security company called PPA, a security company, which was removing people that were at the beach in Kemps Bay. But the little bit about the relationship that we need to understand from the city with company like that, they may not necessarily be the only one. In the closer read of the company in question, has actually been performing bylaw enforcement, which is somehow harassment of people in Kemps Bay, particularly in the beach, area of Kemps Bay, those that are beach going. Over the last 3 years, that company specifically has been doing that particular work. Now, Chair, we all live in Cape Town. We know generally who are most people that are doing this kind of work. If the city has done the vetting of that company before the relationship was entered into. Now, I do know that there was an explanation that there was no written contract between the city and the PPA security company in performing of the said function in Kemps Bay. But there was obviously the relationship that they were doing this work for the last 3 years on behalf of the city. Has that company been vetted? If you could maybe just explain to the committee who are the owners of that company, the particular company in question, the PPA. The last check, when one checked, if you ask Mr. Google, you'll find the owners of it. Some of them underworld. There's underworld individuals in it. If you have just done a bit of check before that. Now, this can be a question that is general to other municipality. What is the oversight role by the police then in the event that such acts are committed? So, in the interest of time, Chair, I perhaps just pause here, because there are a number of, I have a list of these questions.
in Cape Town, townships, even the police can't drive in the township over the weekend. If you go in the intersection, Orchard Quarry Road, intersection Robert there, you simply can't turn in. There's simply no traffic law enforcement. Whether the robot are green on your side, you spend an hour at the intersection. I saw the police also doing the zigzag there, not stopping to enforce the law. Municipal police is absent, completely absent. Philippi Lansdowne intersection, towards Philippi, the same thing. If you're driving there, particularly if it's a Friday afternoon, you need to budget an hour to get through that intersection because you simply can't, the robot can't regulate the traffic. It's everybody for themselves. Where is the deployment of the city police? That's an example I'm making of the two areas. I can go extend in every township you go into. Is the municipal police only functional area to deploy or to look at the bylaws in a city center? Or is it an attempt to do something about this particular question? That's an experience I have in the city of Cape Town in terms of deployment of resources. My understanding, Chair, in terms of the Section 64E, is that this is a responsibility of the municipal police, particularly around the traffic law enforcement in those particular areas. But when are we going to see that happen? I would like to see the plan, when the plan is signed, what does the plan suggest in which areas? So these are the few questions for me, Chair. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honourable Robert Kahn. Also welcome, Honourable Shongi, welcome. Honourable Mula.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you for your presentation. To all the metros, you tell us about all your arrests. What about your convictions? My second question is for Nelson Mandela Bay Metro Police. How many vacancies do you have, and when are you going to fill them? Because your staff is too small. My last question, in slide 17 for SARS, you said here that the human resource development keeps records of all the training provided to the MPs. How many members of MPs were trained to date? And it should include the courses that were attended. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Chair. I've got two questions. The first question, I think it cuts across, relates to their arrest in terms of the drug-related crimes. Just for my clarity, what effect do they mean there? Are they referring to consumers of drugs or drug dealers? Because the issue of drug dealers problem, but the numbers that they have recorded are very low. If they can talk more to that. My second question is specific to Zwane. She mentioned that in terms of their budget for CAPEX, they didn't use that money if I had already, because we needed to reprioritize because the election year they wanted to buy Nyalas and all that. So my question is that how is it possible that the whole budget just for events of one day, and after the elections, what are you going to do with those equipment specifically for elections? Because that's what she said, if I had it correctly. Thank you.
Honourable Karbana, I'll come back to you on the
last. Thank you, Chair. From all that I've heard previously and today, the Metro Police Services work well with the SAPS, certainly not against it, and the doubts thrown on their existence over the past decade which continually ignored Section 2067 of the Constitution, which actually provides for their establishment. That seems to have died away, and it's good to hear the successes of the Metro Police Services, and the fact that they're included on various SAPS bodies and have regular meetings. So to the National Police Commissioner, you said that you were looking to establish, I think you said, a more organized, defined relationship. You used a nice phrase, but I didn't type it down. What do you have in mind, in addition to the existing coordinating committees? And then the Metro Police are paid for by ratepayers living in the relevant metros in order to ensure the Metro bylaws are adhered to on top of the rest of their mandate. But, of course, there will be the bad apples that get in there just as they get into the SAPs. Do the Metro Chiefs deal with the IPED? Have you all established internal affairs units? And what is that relationship? I don't think it's been formalized at any stage, but I'm interested in how you handle that. In terms of gang violence, there is a gang task team in Cape Town. Now, what are you doing to proactively address gang violence? And what's your relationship with this re-established SAPS anti-gang unit? Now, did you set up your unit in the absence of the SAPS unit to fill that vacuum? And if so, is there now still a need for your task team, or are you working hand in glove with the SAPs in this regard? And just a couple of general ones. Are you as Metro Chiefs part of the National Drug Master Plan, and has any progress been made towards the development of the National Metro Police Qualification? And speaking of that, Mr. Israel Kamanyana, I'm afraid I don't know if you have a rank or what to address you as. I know you were from crime intelligence, then the person went to the IPED, and we know what happened there, and then CIRO. So now you're the new head of the new Mangaung Metro Police. So I'm looking for what the relevant skill set is for that position. Is there a standard level of expertise and training a Metro Police Chief must have for the position, or is that determined by each individual metro? I'm actually not sure how it works. So please, could you fill me in? Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Talabara. Honourable Bele.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you for all the presentations. My first question, I think, partly links to a question asked by Honourable Mulibatsi and Honourable Ramatlakane. But it's a question for all the Metro Police chiefs when it comes to the crime prevention mandate of Metro Police. I mean, the first point to be made is that only preventable crimes can be prevented. It's an obvious point, but I think it's worth stating. And so if that is the case, how do you define or sort of outline the depth or extent of that mandate? So, for example, there was a question from another member as to whether robbery and hijackings, for example, are a Metro mandate or a SAPS mandate. But it could be argued that with the right evidence-led or intelligence-led patrolling deployments and that sort of thing, you would effectively be preventing those kind of opportunistic and or organized crimes. So if you could just clarify for the committee and perhaps even from the SAPS perspective, if there's been some dialogue as to finding each other on that, how do the Metro Police see their mandates in terms of crime prevention? Because I think that also might speak somewhat to the issue of the different kinds of specialized units and established and the operations that they undertake. You know, is it worthwhile saying that the operations of a stabilization unit in Cape Town, for example, that confiscates firearms is preventing further crime by taking those kind of firearms out of circulation? So it's, yeah, I think there's a broad question around that that needs some answering. To tag onto that same question about the crime prevention mandates, I've come to understand that one of the constraints and possible frustrations that some of the Metro Police Services face is that they may undertake operations individually or jointly with SAPS, but any evidence that is confiscated and any suspects who are arrested have to be handed over to the SAPS because that's where the investigation mandate lies, and then of course that's the whole value pipeline which then results in the convictions that Honorable Mola was asking about. So my question to the Metro Police Chiefs in particular is, do you see or would you see any value add in the one proposal contained in the White Paper on Policing for the extension of limited investigative powers for the Metro Police, certainly insofar as it contains or concerns the areas within the local government mandate, so bylaws, traffic laws, I guess assets and activities within municipal property or control. So in that way, from the operational parts of that value chain, the investigation can still be carried through seamlessly, and then prosecution then obviously gets handed over to the NPA. My second quick question, Chair, is this one is jointly for the SAPS and the Joburg Metro Police, and it might be slightly unfair to the SAPS because their provincial management probably isn't here. But it's just a question that's been lingering since early December last year, which was around the fiasco, is the word that was used, the fiasco following the Global Citizen Festival concerts, where it was alleged that as concert goers left the FNB Stadium, there was no SAPS or Joburg Metro Police presence to be seen, which left the field wide open for what were described as just small marauding gangs of criminals who were, you know, mugging people, grabbing their cell phones and that sort of thing. Could we get, is there just an outline explanation that the committee could get around what's happened there? Because I don't seem to recall hearing a coherent explanation, except for the fact that it was said that SAPS was escorting the VIPs who were leaving. Metro Police hadn't arrived yet. I don't know. It was just a whole sort of blame-shifting thing that I heard. So some clarity would be useful. My third question, Chair, and my second last one is broadly on this issue that's come up in a couple of the budgets, also asked by a previous member about the procurements of armored vehicles, the Nyanas, by Metro Police. Which I guess firstly links back to the earlier theme around how far does the mandate of Metro Police go in relation to SAPS, because one could argue that, you know, public order policing and those kind of assets are lean more towards the SAPS side. To use one particular example, there was a flurry of media coverage and controversy, at least commentary, around the procurement by the Durban Metro Police of their recent consignments of Nyalas. And if only because this raises questions for residents and for ratepayers who say, we don't see Metro Police enough in our areas, be they patrolling, be they directing traffic, or responding to complaints and to crime incidents, but now they're buying Nyalas, you know, to act against people when they protest on various issues. So some clarity and some just understanding to be conveyed as to what the rationale and the premise for that is, in light of the bigger picture of resource constraints and people on the ground feeling like they aren't adequately served by Metro Police. And then just my final very small pointed question was an item in the Tshwane budgets, Tshwane Police budget, that stood out for me. I noted under the OPEX budget, the second item is stated as remuneration of councillors. I just wanted to understand what that means and what that's about, because I mean, I don't know what that means specifically, and certainly in relation to a Metro Police budget. Could I just get some explanation there, please? Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, honourable members, for the questions. Thank you also for the presentations. Just a few issues from my side. If one look at the broader issue, and in the end, it's about the safety of all South Africans. If you look at the rough figures, it's about 15,000 members that is in this Metropolitan Police Services, and we're talking about a budget roughly of 11 billion compared to the SAPS one of about 89. So it is a big share of the total safety and security spent in South Africa. And the question to the National Commissioner is, if we analyze the presentations made by the Metropolitan Police Service, on the one hand, the Constitution is very clear. There is certain specific areas that the South African Police Service must ensure that the basic safety of citizens and prevention is taking place. Now, it seems clearly there is a response from the Metropolitan Police to go into certain spheres. I mean, there's even illicit, I think, mining in one of the metropolitan areas, while the SAPS is actually focusing it on and the AUKS. So the question is, this migration, is it a response to the fact that the SAPS is not really assuming that duty in terms of the specialized units, that, or are they filling a gap at station cluster level? So my question is, in terms of coordination going forward, if we say we've got limited resources, that the budget spent in terms of peace and stability is not going to increase more than inflation, and we're talking about the 89, 91 billion rand for SAPS and for the municipal and services, say 11 to 15 million over the 3 years, shouldn't there be a much more closer analysis and discussion about who's doing what? Because if it's going to be having 5-6 metropolitan police focusing on illicit mining and other issues that is specialized tasks, you know, what in the end of the day is going to happen in terms of results? So I just maybe get your view on that, looking at the crime prevention strategy, also the review of the SAPS Act going into the 6th Parliament. What should be really to ensure that we spend wisely and the specialization going forward? Then my question to the various chiefs, again, the issue of vetting and anti-corruption measures in your police services. I mean, we didn't see any slides of disciplinary action against members, those kind of topics. And again, it is a concern. I don't want to repeat urban legends and so on, what's happening with regard to motorists that are stopped and this and that. So, you know, what is being done to deal with corruption, internal corruption, and what is your over the last year, steps taken by Metro Police Chiefs to ensure that errant members are dealt with effectively. Then there was a very good, I think, input from Jörg Leni, saying that if they look at the CAPEX budget, they also look where is the SAP stations. And that's for me another question of cooperation, where there isn't currently a big issue with regard to the backlog with regard to new South African Police Service stations. There's also not enough money. There's also the issue of capacity in terms of delivery. So shouldn't there be also, National Commissioner, also closer discussions, especially those informal areas, informal settlements going forward, to discuss around a round table with the Metropolitan Police Services in terms of where they place, for example, their service points, and cannot there be closer cooperation with SAPS?
to ensure that we service our communities better. Thank you very much. Let's go. We've got 10 minutes to tea time, so I think let's take a break now, and then we'll come back at 11:05. Thank you.